early next day and was surprised and delighted to find Horace the footman entering with a cup of tea.
"Oh, thank you, my man," said Mr. Saltina, rolling over in the costly bed.
"Mr. Clark is nearly out of the bath, sir," announced Horace. "I will have great pleasure in turning it on for you, if such is your desire."
"Well, yes, you might," said Mr. Saltina, seeing it was the idea, and Horace gave a profound bow.
"Ethel, are you getting up?" shouted Mr. Saltina.
"Very nearly," replied Ethel faintly from the next room.
"I say," said Mr. Saltina excitedly, "I have had some tea in bed."
"So have I," replied Ethel.
Then Mr. Saltina got into a mauve dressing gown with yellow tassels, and seizing his soap he wandered off to the bathroom, which was most sumptuous. He washed himself well and felt very much better. After breakfast, Mr. Saltina asked Bernard if he could have some private conversation with him.
"Fire away," said Bernard, lighting his pipe.
"Well, I can't exactly do that," said Mr. Saltina in slow tones. "It is a serious matter, and you can advise me, as you are a thorough gentleman, I am sure."
"Well, yes," said Bernard. "What can I do for you, eh, Alf?"
"You can help me, perhaps, to be more like a gentleman," said Mr. Saltina, getting rather hot. "I am quite all right, as they say, but I would like to be the real thing. Can it be done?" he added, slapping his knees.
"I don't quite know," said Bernard. "It might take a good time."
"Might it?" said Mr. S.
"But I would slave for years if need be."
Bernard scratched his head. "Why don't you try the Crystal Palace?" he asked. "Several people, earls and even dukes, have private compartments there, and there are sort of students there who want to get into the War Office and notable banks."
"Would that be a help?" asked Mr. Saltina eagerly.
"Well, it might," said Bernard. "I can give you a letter to my old pal, the Earl of Clincham, who lives there. He might rub you up, and by mixing with him you could probably grow more seemly."
"Oh, 10,000 thanks," said Mr. Saltina. "I will go there as soon as it can be arranged, if you'd be so kind as to keep an eye on Ethel while I'm away."
"Oh, yes," said Bernard. "I may be running up to town for a few days, and she could come too."
"You are too kind," said Mr. Saltina, "and I don't think you will find her any trouble."
"No, I don't think I shall," said Bernard. "She is a pretty girl, cheerful and active," and he blushed rather red. About 9 o'clock next morning, Mr. Saltina stood, bag in hand, in the ancestral hall, waiting for the vehicle to convey him to the station. Bernard Clark and Ethel were seated side by side on a costly sofa, gazing abstractly at the parting guest.
"Well," said Bernard, puffing at his meerschaum pipe, "I hope you will get on, Alf. I am sure you have that little letter to old Clincham, eh?"
"Indeed I have," said Mr. Saltina. "Many thanks for the same, and I do hope Ethel will behave properly."
"Oh, yes, I expect she will," said Bernard with a sigh.
"I always do," said Ethel in a snappy tone.
"Well, goodbye, Alf, old man," said Bernard Clark. "Good luck. And God bless you," he added in a pious tone.
"Not at all," said Mr. Saltina. "I have enjoyed my stop, which has been short and sweet."
"Well, goodbye, Ethel, my child," he said, as bag in hand he proceeded to the door.
Mr. Saltina had to travel first class, as active Horace ran on to buy the ticket, which he presented with a low bow, the Times and Tit-Bits. The other passengers looked full of envy at the curly white wig and green plush uniform of Horace. Mr. Saltina began to feel this was the thin end of the partition, and he smiled as he gently tapped the letter in his coat-tail pocket. When Mr. Saltina arrived in London, he began to stroll up the principal streets, thinking how gay all was. Presently he found a tall policeman.
"Could you direct me to the Crystal Palace, if you please?" said Mr. Saltina nervously.
"Well," said the genial policeman, "my advice would be to take a cab, sir."
"Oh, would it?" said Mr. Saltina. "Then I will do so." He hailed a hansom and got speedily in. "To the Crystal Palace," he cried gaily, and holding his bag on his knees, he prepared to enjoy the sights of the metropolis. It was a merry drive, and all too soon the palace heaved in view. Mr. Saltina sprang out and paid the man, and then he entered the wondrous edifice.
His heart beat very fast as two huge men in gold braid flung open the doors. Inside was a lovely fountain in the middle, and all round were little stalls where you could buy sweets and lemonade, also scent, handkerchiefs, and many dainty articles. There were a lot of people, but nobody very notable. At last, after buying two bottles of scent and some rather nice sweets which stuck to his teeth, Mr. Saltina beheld a wooden door on which was nailed a notice saying, "To the private compartments." "Aha," said Mr. Saltina to himself, "this is evidently my next move." And he gently pushed open the door, straightening his top hat as he did so. Inside, he found himself in a dimly lit passage with a thick and handsome carpet. Mr. Saltina gazed round and beheld in the gloom a very superior gentleman in full evening dress who was reading a newspaper and warming his hands on the hot water pipes. Mr. Saltina advanced on tiptoe and coughed gently, as so far the gentleman had paid no attention. "I am seeking the Earl of Clincham," he began in a trembly voice. "Are you by any chance him?" he added most respectfully. "No, not exactly," replied the other. "My name happens to be Edward Mercurio. I am half Italian, and I am the groom of the chambers." Mr. Saltina noticed several doors with names of people on each. "Oh, I see," he said. "Then perhaps you can tell me where the Earl of Clincham is to be found." "At the end of the passage, fourth door down," said Mercurio tritely. "Of course, he may be out. One never knows what they are up to." Mr. Saltina trotted off down the passage. At last he came to a door labelled "Clincham, Earl of," in big letters. With a beating heart, Mr. Saltina pulled the bell, and the door swung open of its own accord. At the same moment a cheery voice rang out from the distance. "Come in, please. I'm in the study. First door on left." With a nervous bound, Mr. Saltina obeyed these directions and found himself in a small but handsome compartment done in green leather with crests on the chairs. By the desk was seated a tall man of 35, with very nice eyes of a twinkly nature and curly hair. He wore a quite plain suit of palest grey, but well made, and on the table reposed a grey top hat, which had evidently been on his head recently. He had a rose in his buttonhole, also a signet ring. "Hello," said this pleasant fellow, as Mr. Saltina was spellbound on mat. "Hello, your lordship," responded our hero, bowing low and dropping his top hat. "Do I address the Earl of Clincham?" "You do," said the Earl with a homely smile. "And who do I address, eh?" Our hero bowed again. "Alfred Saltina," he said in deep tones. "Oh, I see," said the kindly Earl. "Well, come in, my man, and tell me who you are." "To tell you the truth, my lord, I am not any one of import, and I am not a gentleman, as they say," he ended, getting very red and hot. "Have some whisky," said Lord Clincham, and he poured the liquid into a glass at his elbow. Mr. Saltina lapped it up, thankfully. "Well, my man," said the good-natured Earl, "what I say is, what does it matter? We can't all be of the blood royal, can we?" "No," said Mr. Saltina, "but I suppose you are." Lord Clincham waved a careless hand. "A small portion flows in my veins," he said. "But it does not worry me at all. And after all," he added piously, "at the day of judgment, what will be the odds?" Mr. Saltina heaved a sigh. "I was thinking of this world," he said. "Oh, I see," said the Earl. "But my own idea is that these things are a piffle before the wind." "Not being an earl, I can't say," answered our hero. "But may I beg you to read this letter, my lord?" He produced Bernard's note from his coat-tails. The Earl of Clincham took it in his long fingers. This is what he read. "My dear Clincham, the bearer of this letter is an old friend of mine, not quite the right side of the blanket, as they say. In fact, he is the son of a first-rate butcher, but his mother was a decent family called Hyssops of the Glen. So you see he is not so bad, and is desirous of being the correct article. Could you rub him up a bit in society ways? I am keeping well, and hope you are. I must run up to the compartments one day and look you up. Yours as ever, your faithful friend, Bernard Clark." The Earl gave a slight cough and gazed at Mr. Saltina thoughtfully.
"Have you much money?" he asked, "and are you prepared to spend a good deal?"
"Oh, yes, quite," gasped Mr. Saltina. "I have plenty in the bank and £10 in ready gold in my purse."
"You see, these compartments are the haunts of the aristocracy," said the Earl, "and they are kept going by people who have got something funny in their family and who want to be less mere, if you can comprehend."
"Indeed I can," said Mr. Saltina.
"Personally, I am a bit partial to mere people," said his lordship. "But the point is that we charge a goodly sum for our training here. But, however, if you can't pay, you need not join."
"I can and will," proclaimed Mr. Saltina, and he placed a £10 note on the desk. His lordship slipped it into his trouser pocket.
"It will be £42 before I have done with you," he said, "but you can pay me here and there as convenient."
"Oh, thank you," cried Mr. Saltina.
"Not at all," said the Earl, "and now to business. While here you will live in compartments in the basement known as lower range. You will get many hints from the groom of the chambers as to clothes and etiquette to menials. You will mix with me for grammar, and I might take you out hunting or shooting sometimes to give you a few tips. Also, I have lots of ladies' parties which you will attend occasionally."
Mr. Saltina's eyes flashed with excitement.
"I shall enjoy that," he cried.
His lordship coughed loudly.
"You may not marry while under instruction," he said firmly.
"Oh, I shall not need to, thank you," said Mr. Saltina.
"You must also decide on a profession," said his lordship, "as your instruction will vary according."
"Could I be anything at Buckingham Palace?" said Mr. Saltina with flashing eyes.
"Oh, well, I don't quite know," said the noble earl, "but you might perhaps gallop beside the royal barouche if you care to try."
"Oh, indeed I should," cried Mr. Saltina. "I am very fond of fresh air and royalties."
"Well, I must go out now and call on a few dowagers," said his lordship, picking up his elegant top hat.
"Well, au revoir," he added with a good French accent.
"Adieu, my lord," cried Mr. Saltina, not to be outdone.
"We meet anon, I take it."
The earl nodded kindly and glided out in silence.
Here I will end my chapter.